Good morning, my Walking with Jesus friends. Today we begin a new month together, July 2020. Normally, in past Julys here in America, we're in the midst of summer vacations, summer baseball, summer picnics, and this week is especially exciting as we anticipate the 4th of July holiday weekend, a celebration of the birth of the United States of America. But this is not a normal summer in America, maybe not where you live either. The coronavirus pandemic has had dramatic impact on the lifestyle of almost every person in every place the COVID-19 virus has hit. Hibernation, closed businesses, closed schools and churches, working from home or being placed on unemployment, masks and gloves, social distancing, and so much more has become a way of life for hundreds of millions of people around the world. Virtually nothing is the same as it was July 1st, 2019, anywhere in the world. Now think about that. How has your life been impacted in recent months? This week, we're considering how the sovereign authority of God over all things can give us a sense of calm and assurance in the midst of the chaos all around us. Today, let's pursue the concept even further. Let's consider what it means for us when the sovereign, omnipotent, omniscient, eternal, creator, holy God comes here to planet Earth and lives as sovereign in all, including in the chaos. The first time it happened is in the Garden of Eden, when God evidently frequently came and walked in the garden with Adam and Eve. I see it in Genesis chapter 3, verse 8 and 9. Can you imagine how wonderful that experience must have been prior to what happened in Genesis chapter 3, verse 1 to 7? The next time I'd like us to consider is when God instructed Moses to build a tabernacle, a tent of meeting, at Mount Sinai. You'll see that conversation in Exodus 24. Moses' first 40-day trip up Sinai to meet with God. Please take special note of God's expectation of what he would do there in that tent of meeting. You'll see it in Exodus 29, verse 42 to 46. There I will meet with you and speak to you. There also I will meet with the Israelites, and the place will be consecrated by my glory. There I will dwell among the Israelites and be their God. They will know that I am the Lord their God, who brought them out of Egypt, so that I might dwell among them. I am the Lord their God. Wow, does that simply amaze you, my friends, that the Creator, Almighty, Holy God, would want to come and live among humanity, made in His image, but oh so sinful and forgetful. Please grasp this. This passionate desire of God for a dynamic, loving relationship with us is what drives him to do outrageous things, including sending sovereign Jesus to live among us and even die, so we could be restored into relationship with holy God. In Exodus 40, after Moses completed the assembly of the tent of meeting, look what happened in verse 34. Then the cloud covered the tent of meeting, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. So the cloud of the Lord's presence was over the tabernacle by day, and fire was in the cloud by night in the sight of all the Israelites during all their travels. 1 million Hebrew slaves understood that Almighty, Holy God was there among them day and night. The sovereign God was both over all and now was in their world with them. Can you imagine the sense of comfort they experienced, especially at night, when they saw the glowing fire in the cloud hovering over the tent of meeting? As you may know, God gave Moses a clear plan for how this huge throng of people were to live in an organized tent city, and how they should move in an organized way following the cloud from one place to another. Numbers chapter 2 gives us that remarkable organizational plan. The record says, "The sovereign Lord said to Moses and Aaron, the Israelites are to camp around the tent of meeting, some distance from it, each man under his standard with the banners of his family." Can you envision it? A huge tent city of 1 million people with the tent of meeting and the cloud hovering over it in the middle of the city, and like a huge pizza pie, all the tents arranged in tribal order in specific sections, and then a very specific marching order when they moved. The next time I see God coming in a powerful way is when King Solomon is dedicating the temple in Jerusalem, and the cloud of God's presence descends upon it in the same way it happened in Exodus chapter 40. 2 Chronicles 7:1 says, "When King Solomon finished praying, fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering, and the glory of the Lord filled the temple. The priests could not enter the temple of the Lord because the glory of the Lord filled it. When all the Israelites saw the fire come down and the glory of the Lord above the temple, they knelt down with their faces to the ground and they worshiped and gave thanks to the sovereign Lord." And then finally, 1,000 years later, angels filled the sky, startling shepherds in the fields of Bethlehem, only about 6 miles from Jerusalem. And the angels said, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all people. Today in the city of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord." And suddenly a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared, saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace to men on whom his favor rests." Of course, that's Luke chapter 2. You recognize that as the Christmas story, and you'll remember the shepherds ran into town and found the baby Jesus lying in a manger. To them and everyone, he looked like any other newborn baby boy, but he wasn't. This was the sovereign God who had now come to live here on planet Earth, the Earth that he had created, among the human population that he had created. This was now God, sovereign in all, as he now lived here with us in a human body for all to see. Now think about that as you run through, in your mind, the story of Jesus as an infant and later as an adult. Of course, in Jesus' adult years, we really see sovereign in all in action. Every time Jesus did a miracle, that was proof of his sovereign authority being unleashed in our world, right? Listen to this shocking statement from Jesus in answer to Philip, when Philip said to Jesus, "Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us." And Jesus answered, "Don't you know me, Philip, even after I've been among you such a long time? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. Don't you believe that I'm in the Father and the Father is in me? The words I say to you are not just my own. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. Believe me when I say I'm in the Father and the Father is in me, or at least believe on the evidence of the miracles themselves." What do you hear, my friends? This is cataclysmic. Jesus several times claimed that he and Almighty God the Father were one. You remember John 10:30? Now here Jesus is making it very clear. Almighty, Creator, Sovereign God, who is sovereign over all, has been living among them as sovereign in all. And finally, do you remember Jesus explaining to his friends that he would be returning soon to heaven after his resurrection, but God the Father would send the Holy Spirit to live with them and be in them? Now this is taking it to an extreme, because with the Holy Spirit, now we have God sovereign over all, not only living here as sovereign in all, but now sovereign in us, in you and me, and all who have trusted in Jesus and been born again, reconciled to God, sealed by his Holy Spirit. The presence and power of sovereign God no longer living just with his people, but now living in his people. Jesus had said, "I will ask the Father, and he will send you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. You know him, for he lives with you and will be in you." John 14:16-17. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit of God comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, all Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Acts 1:8. It's time to simply sit quiet and ponder the remarkable, amazing truth of this promise of God. In the chaos of our world, born-again followers of Jesus have every right to feel almost invincible because God, sovereign God who is over all, sovereign God who is in all, that sovereign God is living in us. Oh God, we are speechless.